You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Artists plan all year to get their pieces ready for wearable art, and it's back this year with an in-person runway show. Joining us now to talk about that, Nancy DeCherney, Executive Director for the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, how are you, Shelley?
I'm great, thanks. And Kathleen Harper, Wearable Arts Manager. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello there.
Hello, good to see you both. Kathleen, let's start with you. So I really enjoyed the virtual show last year, but what does it mean to you to have wearable art back again in person?
It's pretty great. We were pretty proud of how we transitioned last year, but you know, the models on the stage going down the runway get so much energy from the audience that is there live. It's just such a great feeling, I think, for everybody in the room. Both for the audience to get that sort of like, oh my gosh moment, you know, as they all see the reveal and see it as it walks past them. And the models and the artists really feed off of that sort of energy that they get from the live viewers. So to be able to have that again is really kind of pretty exciting. We are, however, doing this year as a hybrid. So there will be live seats available at Centennial Hall, but then also live stream seats available as well to offer as many different opportunities for people to see the show as possible this year.
Well, that's great. I wasn't aware of that. You might have gotten cut off there, Nancy, but don't worry. I heard your message loud and clear, and we'll be sure to repeat it a couple of times before this interview is over. But Nancy, how about you? I know it hasn't been easy to make decisions about any event for a long time, let alone this one. How are you feeling about it?
I'm trying to be as flexible as possible. You just have to make some plans and then you have to change them. And I think the Arts Council crew has done a really good job with that, but I am very excited. We're making some changes for this year because it's going to be, we have the COVID mitigation things that we have to do. So it's a different runway layout, different than before. So you can see that on the website. And we're not going to have bars inside because of the COVID situation. So we're having an outdoor beach bonfire.
Wow. Cool. in accordance with the theme, oceanic overtures. What's an ocean without a beach, and what's a beach without a bonfire? I like it.
Exactly. Yeah. So stand by for more on that.
Well, Kathleen, as we mentioned already, the theme is oceanic overtures. I know it's still a month out, but have you seen any of the submissions yet?
So the applications for entry were due the very beginning of this month. So we have started the artist interview process where we kind of talk with each of the artists about their ideas and their goal and how they kind of see their piece going down the runway. And we'll actually start rehearsals this weekend, actually. So things are moving at pace.
Than you think.
We have at this point mostly just seen sketches and a few in-progress photos. So that's part of the fun of wearable art, is that the artists may have these inspirations and ideas, and then they madly get to work. And especially January is just a flurry of people like cutting things and pinning things and putting things together. And we really won't see what the final pieces look like until that dress rehearsal on the day of.
Thursday? Are we having a dress rehearsal?
We'll see the pieces, but we won't see all the like hair and makeup, but sometimes that can be like a lot too. So it's exciting to kind of see the progress of the pieces as they slowly come together. And then we see most of them during our tech process, and then our final dress rehearsal, we kind of see everything before the audience then gets to see it. So it's an exciting process as everyone's go from sketch to reality.
And I bet the two don't always match up, but that sounds like that would be the fun part for me at least. Do we know who the hosts are going to be?
I believe we have our same MCs from the last couple of years, which is Erica Lee and Richard Carter.
Richard Carter.
Okay.
Speaking out of turn. It's like Kathleen was saying, the energy in the room takes the sort of static piece that the people have created and turn it into a whole experience. So I'm really happy that we're able to be live this year.
So. Yeah. Live and the hybrid option is always good to have. As you mentioned, tickets are on sale now. The event is February 12th and 13th. And as we already mentioned, it's going to look a little different this year than it did before. So what do attendees need to know before they buy a ticket or if they're thinking about attending?
They have to be members of the Arts Council to buy their tickets now. They can, if you're not a member, you have to wait till the 17th. You have to be vaccinated and plan to wear a mask. So those are things.
That's if you attend in person. And if you purchase a live stream ticket, you can just watch from home?
Yep. Just do whatever you like. Yep.
And so then those requirements are not the same for the live stream tickets. You can be whatever you want to be.
Do what you want. Go where you want to go.
Yeah. But whether you want to attend live and in person or attend live stream, you need to be a member to purchase that ticket now?
Correct.
Can you become a member and then purchase a ticket like today all at once?
We're here to help you out. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
This fundraiser of the year for the Arts Council, and the money goes to helping us with our student scholarships, our artists, individual artists in grants, and to help keep the Jack open and functioning at an affordable cost for the local folks that like to use the space. So. Like you said, Folk Fest was just in last night using the gallery for a board meeting because you're coming up with something.
That's right. That's right. We'll save that for another interview. Back to wearable art. I know that while some things are different, some things remain the same, however, and you will still need volunteers. Is that right? Can you tell us about those opportunities?
Yep. And we'll have those volunteer slots posted probably tomorrow, but definitely by Friday. We won't be having a silent auction in the middle of the lobby like has happened in the past, so we don't need all the auction volunteers. We do have an auction online, and we do need people to donate and help with that. So that will be available. But yeah, we'll get the volunteer slots posted here pretty soon so people can help out with ushering and handing out programs or whatever else needs to be done.
And then, and what would the perks be of being a volunteer?
Well, you get to be in the room, and we have some seats reserved. But it's great. No, you are part of the production and you're part of the team. And I think, you know, I'm one of those people that's not usually an audience member. I'm usually a back in the kitchen doing things kind of person. So for people like that, this is a really nice way to get involved and get to know people and meet the artists and do all sorts of things. So it's fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good deal. And I understand there'll be a raffle as well.
Yes, we just got the tickets in the door just this afternoon. $10 gives you also the live stream thing. If you buy a raffle ticket, you get the live stream, so you don't have to buy both. Two Alaska Airlines tickets, round trip, wherever they fly. Mm-hmm. Alaska Airlines is always so helpful for us. They're our major sponsor for this event. They always come down. I don't know if you remember the year that their drill team came down. I really liked that.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah,
I like that. So if I'm understanding right, if you buy a raffle ticket, you are admitted to the live stream with the price of the ticket purchase. And, you know, if that were the case, could you attend both nights or one night only?
I think you can do both. I mean, we haven't kind of worked all the live stream stuff out yet, but it will probably give you also future links. I'm not positive about that. But anyway, we have some people who've already been calling for it. They watched last year's from Arizona. And so they were like, I want to do this now. I got to get those tickets up too.
Yeah. All right. Well, wearable art, the return of wearable art live and in person. Oceanic Overtures is the theme. Tickets on sale now to members. Is there anything else that either of you want to say about wearable art?
No, but I will tell you, we just got today news that we are going to have the gospel celebrations at the end of February. So people have been tomorrow.
Say that one more time, Nancy. You cut out.
We're going to have the gospel celebrations. I just got that confirmed. So the gospel workshops will happen February 21st, and we'll have the gospel celebration at Centennial Hall on the 27th of February. So.
That's great news.
About that. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Sign up.
I'm a little rusty, but I know that people love that event. So I'm glad to hear that it's back and people can come and participate in that. So thank you, Nancy, and thank you, Kathleen, for the info. Best of luck to you as the manager of Wearable Art. I know that's no easy job, so I hope you're sleeping at night, staying hydrated, all that stuff. No, she's not. Well, it was great to talk to you guys both. Anything else that you want to share today?
Oh, thank you very much, Shelley.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
Well, like
we'll
I said,
see you there, right?
I should be there. Best of luck.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
I'm Shelley Delaney. Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm joined now by John Thill, the new director of Juno Public Libraries. Hi, John. Oh, sorry about that. Anyway, John's here to talk about the events happening at the library this month. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Well, before we get into library news, can we talk books?
Absolutely.
What are you reading right now?
Well, I've been reading a great new book called Islands of Abandonment. That's by Cal Flynn. And it's actually a really interesting look at what happens to landscapes that have been heavily influenced by humans, you know, either industrial or cityscapes, what happens after people leave them. So it looks at places like Chernobyl, you know, which was kind of left behind after the nuclear disaster, or some of the urban prairies that have been popping up in empty portions of Detroit. And it's really fascinating to look at how nature rebounds in urban and industrial spaces. So I've been really enjoying that.
Now, are you reading that? Are you reading an audiobook, ebook, or hard copy?
Got a hard copy.
I'm actually reading a hard copy now, too. I picked up the new Anthony Horowitz mystery, Moonflower Murders.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a follow-up to the Magpie Murders. I don't know if it was available in the library yet, so I just grabbed the paperback when I saw it as I passed through an airport. I'm really savoring it. Almost to the end. Almost to the resolution, the reveal.
He's a great writer. He wrote a lot of the Poirot series that you see on, you know, the BBC did. So, you know, if you ever watch any of those, get those from the library too.
Nice plug. Well, you wanted to talk to us today about some things that are going on at the library, specifically some curated collections that are available for checkout. So what's new there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest new thing we got is we just added in the Alaska Digital Library, that's with help from the state library, we added magazines to our digital collections. And so now when you go into our ebook service, the Alaska Digital Library, you can find the latest issues of just about any popular magazine you can imagine. So it's a really wonderful service. And you know, digital magazines are really great to read on like a tablet. And the great thing about them is you don't want to read all the ads. You can use the table of contents like a little menu and select the article you want and go directly to it. So these are great. You can check these out on our website. And it's a wonderful new service. Another one I want to plug that we have been doing for a while is board games. Now that we're in the midst of a fun winter with lots of snow and it's a great time to pick up a board game at the library and check it out. Play something new with your family. We offer those for free as well.
That's pretty cool. I wanted to back up and ask a question about the electronic magazines. Do you have any idea about what some of the most popular choices would be? Because I know I'd probably go for like Nat Geo, Rolling Stone, The New Yorker.
Well, those are all on there. I checked. I actually saw all of those on there. So that's great. I think the most popular ones are like, you know, some of the gossip mags, but National Geographic's up there, you know, so.
That's cool. And how about you? What have you checked out for yourself there?
I was just looking at National Geographic today, actually, since I saw that it was on there. I'm like, oh, that's really great. And then I'm a music fan, so I was looking at some older issues of New Music Express on there, and that was kind of neat to see that those were there as well, so. Something for everybody, that's for sure.
What I love about that option is that you don't have back issues piling up in your house, like not really knowing what you want to do with them. With Nat Geo especially, it's like, I hated to throw it out, but yep. They pile up quick.
Yeah, you know, it's bad for collage projects, but you know, good for your clutter.
Absolutely. And with the board games, what are some of the most popular options that you have there for available for checking out?
Well, let's see, what's a good one that I've seen recently? Oh, there's so many good ones. None of them are coming to mind off the top of my head. We have Carcassonne. That's a great game. If you ever have had the chance to play that, it's kind of a...
Never heard of it.
It's a road building and city building game where you try to, you know, use little tiles to build the longest roads, build the biggest cities, and it's really fun. Nice one to relax to, for sure. Play that one at home a lot.
There was this one I used to play called Pandemic, but not interested anymore.
We do have that one.
It's still a
yes,
fun game.
But it does bring to mind some things of recent that are not as fun. So
too soon for me for Pandemic. And I understand that you also have memory kits available for checkout. Can you remind us what those are again?
Yeah, memory kits are a great tool that we circulate, mainly geared toward caregivers. Each kit has a variety of items themed around a certain time period. Have old movies, you know, objects, music, and they help start conversations and spark memories with people who are experiencing memory loss. So it's a great tool for our caregivers to try out to create a connection and help you know, people that are experiencing some memory issues, you know, rekindle some memories.
Yeah, and those have been available from the library for a while, so I think they must have some value to folks. I just wanted to check with you and if you're planning on, well, what is the state of the library now? We know that the Omicron variant is surging through the community. Are there any immediate plans to change hours or hours of operation for you guys?
No, we're not changing our hours of operations at this time. We're still doing pretty well on our staffing and contributing a little to emergency operations again, but we're able to keep our doors open for normal hours, and we're hoping we can weather the Omicron surge and, you know, keep our hours stable, because, you know, the community relies on those hours being something they can expect. So
that's great. Good to hear. I know I rely on the library a lot, so happy to hear that. And then the last thing I wanted to ask you about today is Illustrating Alaska. That's a new exhibit that opened yesterday out in the Valley Library. The Valley Branch. Can you tell me what that is?
Well, it's actually really cool because the featured artists in this, 3 out of 4 are actually from Juneau. So that's kind of a neat piece involved. That we have Mitch Watley, Michaela Goad, Jim Fowler and Yvonne Zerbitz, all who are featured in this. And the cool thing about it is it tells a little bit about how they work. So you get to see, you know, their own drawings of those workspaces that they work in. They talk about what their method is, what kind of tools they use. So it's a little insight into how these illustrators work. And it's a great representation of some great Alaska artists.
Oh, that sounds neat. Have you seen it yet yourself?
Yeah, I was actually over there yesterday and had a look at it. It looks great.
Oh, that's cool. So folks can come in and just sort of take in all the local art and artwork from illustrators here in Juneau.
Yep. And we got some great books by some of these illustrators also on display for you to take home too.
Excellent. That sounds like something that would be worthwhile to check out. Well, thanks so much, John. I appreciate your time today. Is there anything else that you wanted to share? Anything going on at the libraries that I didn't ask you about?
Well, we're just happy to be open and happy to keep serving Juneau.
Yeah, and you're settling into your position okay in your new home?
Yep. Loving it here.
That is so good to hear. Well, we will talk again next month, I imagine. So until then, take care and have a great afternoon.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, some KTOO family business. So please do join us as we dedicate our KRNN studio to the one and only Jeff Brown, coming up right after this. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Today, we dedicate one of our newly remodeled studios to Jeff Brown, someone who's been with KTOO almost as long as it's been in existence, starting off here as a volunteer in 1975. As well as being a former host of this show, program manager for the radio station from 1985 to 2018, and a founding father of the Alaska Folk Fest, Jeff Brown has also been the official entertainer for four governors, a magician, a balloon artist, creator of Southeast Native radio series, We Like Kids music program, and he authored and self-published Real Alaskans magazine. I could go on, but I'd like to hear from my first guest, KTOO President and General Manager Bill Legere. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Shelley. Happy to be here with you today on what is a happy occasion for us.
Agree. Bill, what are some of the biggest impacts you feel Jeff had on you when he worked here?
Wow. Well, you know, I've been trying to remember when I first met Jeff, and it was before I even came to Juneau, before I worked here. I was a news director in Petersburg at the radio station, and I was traveling home from Bethel to Petersburg and got stuck, and I slept on Jeff Brown's floor at his Gold Street house. And that would have been, I think, 1980 or 1981. So we go back that far. And of course, Jeff was the voice of KTOO, the spirit of everything we did. After I started working at KTOO in 1985, I would often just ask myself, how would Jeff handle this? What would Jeff do? You would always want to do right by the community and the volunteers. And so I can't even begin to describe the enormous impact he has had on the history, the DNA of KTOO.
Today's event has been a long time coming. When was it first decided that a studio should be dedicated to Jeff?
Well, you know, it was another lifetime before COVID. We started on this project in 2017 to design and secure the funding to remodel the radio studios, which were first built in 1995 and had some problems with acoustics and air handling, and they'd become pretty hard used over the years since 95. And after we had the design in place and we knew what they were going to look like, we decided that we should offer the opportunity to dedicate studios to people who made a significant difference to KTOO and the community. So someplace in that time frame, it just became apparent that we should honor Jeff in Studio 2B, which is the studio that KRNN originates from and the music volunteer programs come from. And it just seemed like a place where Jeff spent a lot of time, and we should honor him with a permanent dedication of that studio to Jeff.
And it was the Better Sound Project that provided that opportunity, right? Do you want to say a little about that?
Sure. Just, you know, briefly, we engaged our local architect, Wayne Jensen, at Jensen Yorba Wall to help us with the design. And he brought in an acoustic architect from Seattle. And the main purpose of the project was to improve the acoustics of the studios. But at the same time, we also repaired the air handling system, did new lighting, created a fifth new studio, Studio K, the studio that Juneau Afternoon comes from, as a way to do a complete refresh. And the other part of that project was to relocate the KRNN and KXLL transmitters to Ock Mountain, when we were forced to move from our location on Douglas Island. So it was one large project funded mainly by the Murdoch Trust of Vancouver, Washington. The Murdoch Trust funded the studio remodeling portion of the project. We also had funding from the Rasmussen Foundation, and we turned to KTOO listeners to help us fund the rest of the project, and had a year-long fundraising campaign to raise some money to both remodel the studios and move the transmitters.
Turning now to Cheryl Snyder, our vice president. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello, Shelley.
You were a big part of that campaign to raise the funds for the studio remodel and this project to honor Jeff Brown with a studio dedication. What was the response like from the community?
Oh my goodness, it was amazing. We had a modest goal of raising $7,500 to contribute to doing the redesign and remodel in the KRNN studio in honor of Jeff. And the community reaction was like immediate, and we ended up raising more than $16,000, so more than double the goal. And I just remember, you know, all of the contributions just coming in with just some beautiful notes and memories that people were sharing. And it was just, you know, it was so heartwarming, because for a guy who dedicated his life to building community, to have the community come out and force to do this really great thing for him was just, it was just perfect, really. It's great. And so, you know, when we look at that studio, we look at the dedication, we can think about all the people who contributed to make sure that it was dedicated to Jeff.
Now, you worked with Jeff for a long time as well. Were you surprised by the outpouring of support?
No, I mean, we hadn't done a capital campaign like that in a very long time. And so you never quite know how people are come out. But no, I mean, we know that Jeff has impacted so many lives for so many years in this town in so many ways. It was just more heartwarming to see that kind of response.
Well, one of the people that he worked with and played with over his tenure at KTOO is Ed Schoenfeld. Ed's on the call with us now today. Ed, would you like to say hello and introduce yourself? On mute. Yeah, there you go.
Hi, I'm Ed Schoenfeld.
Hi, Ed.
And I work with Jeff at KTOO back when I was program director and worked in news in the late 70s and first half of the 1980s, and ended up being one of Jeff's housemates, and have worked with him on a whole variety of projects, including music and humor and radio theater and a variety of other things over the year. And mostly I'm just in awe of him.
Tell us a little more about how you met and how you got to know him.
Well, I'm not exactly remembering when I met Jeff, but he was just kind of a constant presence at KTOO. This is when we were in an old church where the spam can building, I guess doesn't look like a spam can anymore, is on North Franklin Street. And he was just around doing music shows and other things. At some point, he started the 20th Century Bluescast with some other folks. And when I came back to K2 after being gone for a little while and started doing news, I became part of that and ended up taking it on stage. And Jeff was always, right, if people don't know the Bluescast, it was essentially a group of people, mostly people in news, at least at the beginning, who just liked to make fun of the news and make write songs and do skits about contemporary issues and social issues, cultural issues. And Jeff was always there with, let's do this, let's do that, let's try this. So it was something we did on the radio, we did it in person at a comedy club and some events. He actually ended up taking that to 60 Minutes. There was a show with a segment on Wally Hickel. And when the crew was in town, we kind of squeezed our way onto a Concerts in the Park performance, and they came and they videotaped that, and Jeff wrote a song called Wally World. Jeff wrote hundreds of songs, if not thousands, and quite a few about Wally Hickel, who is a controversial governor for those who are more recent to Alaska. And he wrote this song called Wally World. We've got oil, we've got gas, we've got a pipeline up our pass right here in Wally World. Lots of things for you. I think we have a caribou right here in Wally World, etc. And it wasn't nasty, it was just making fun. And that's something I always admired of Jeff. But you know, Jeff always was coming up with new things. One day when I was sharing a house with him, I realized there was some stained glass works around and pieces of glass. And that was Jeff's new hobby. And he went with that for a while. And then there were balloon animals, and he and some friends put together a group called Arts R Us, and they put on these incredible shows with just really creative and sometimes experimental performances and artwork. And I could go on and on, but I won't. I think the main thing to say about Jeff is he was very good at bringing people together to do creative things, and his sense of humor, his ability to get people laughing and to get other people to get other people laughing, really was great in that it relieved tension. And people could talk about an issue a lot more if they were laughing about it rather than if they were just staring at each other and glaring, something we could use today.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And also with all the with the humor, you know, and he and I were working here at K2O for the same time for a few years. And I really enjoyed that he had all these funny signs that he would post around the station. Every week there was a new one. He made sure he gave me multiple copies of Real Alaskans magazine. And basically every exchange with him, you know, there'd be joking. And it's, yeah, it really did like make working with him such a treat. Well, Ed, we have a little clip here that you provided. It's a pretty good sample of some of the comedy that Jeff performed. Do you want to set it up for us?
Sure. This was a skit called, I think, The Last State Workers. And essentially, it was at a time when budget cutting was happening. Of course, that's been going on and off, mostly on, for decades here. But I think this was in the late 80s. And he and Carl Olds are two old state workers who were sitting on a bench somewhere trying to reminisce about what life was like before state government shut down due to lack of oil money.
Let's listen.
And now, a special report. The 20th Century Blues cast takes you live to the future, to a typical downtown Juneau street scene in the year 2010.
Hey, come on! This is gonna be fun!
Bet I can break more windows than you can!
You can't break more windows than I can!
Hey, you! Wake up!
What's that?
Wake up, I said! Kids have no respect for property these days. Look at them. They're on their way to throw rocks at the windows in that old abandoned building up there.
Oh, yeah. Why, that's the state office building. The old state office building, isn't it? I spent 30 years there in the paperwork enforcement division, spelling section. How about you?
My gosh, Snuggies, it's been so long, I'd almost forgotten. Worked 35 years in the Department of Needless Application Forms. And the hoops we used to make people jump through just to get a box of paper clips.
The one thing I'll never forget is the paperwork. Memorandums, internal briefing documents, applications. Why, my division's paperwork production exceeded any other state government. That's a fact.
Oh, yeah. Heck, I remember one week in 1983, my department turned out more memorandums than there were people in the entire state of Alaska. And these weren't your dinky one- or two-page jobs, either. They were 20 pages long, single-spaced, and with no paragraphs.
Well, with us, it wasn't just a weekly thing. We processed that much paperwork every single day of the year.
Yep, we did, except weekends.
Yeah, Alaska's Day.
Mansour's Day.
And Martin Luther King's birthday.
Personal leave days.
Sick leave days.
Paternity leave.
Bereavement leave.
Woolly Mammoth Day.
President's Day.
And Sherry Shelley Day.
That was a couple of minutes of 20th Century Blues cast, and thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for providing us with that audio. You must have had a lot of fun with those performances, huh, Ed?
Oh, yes. And we had a regular following, and there were a few people who we always knew they were there because they had very recognizable laughs. But the fun thing was performing for new people and people who weren't familiar with what we did. And folks would sometimes say, can you do that? Don't you even get in trouble for that? And it's like, we're just telling jokes. So yes, it was a lot of fun. And Jeff was always leading the fun.
And that was him as the one of the old men there talking about his mm-hmm. his state job. I recognized his voice right away. I don't know if everyone else did.
Well, he does a great old man voice.
And as a longtime friend of Jeff's and speaking to an audience of many people who know him and many who don't, what would you like everyone to understand about Jeff's contributions to the community through public radio?
Well, I think Jeff, by his enthusiasm and his sense of humor and the fact that just about everybody who met Jeff or talked to him on the phone liked him, he just spread that feeling that we were all part of it. So it wasn't just me on this side of the microphone and you on your radio listening or these days online. It was Jeff really making everybody feel like they're in on the joke and part of the game. I know some of it doesn't come through over the decades, but you know, he was a community builder both locally and regionally, and he was part of the statewide public radio and journalism scene too, and won awards for that.
Well, thanks, Ed. I appreciate you sharing all of that. And without further ado, I think it's time to move on to the virtual unveiling. And we have with us now Callie Connerton. Hi, Callie.
Hey, Shelly. How's it going?
Good, good. Would you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, my name is Callie Connerton, and I am super lucky to be the daughter of Jeff Brown. So his pride and joy, as he always used to call me, and he was like, do you want to see a picture of my pride and joy? And then his joke was that he would show everyone a picture of a Joy soap bottle before showing them a picture of me, because he always wanted to make people laugh. So I'm super excited for this unveiling virtually, of course.
Do you know if your dad is listening today?
He is listening at home on the couch with snacks, because snacks are not allowed in the studio. I learned that very young, that snacks and liquids and anything that could get stuck anywhere, Play-Doh was not allowed in the studio. So, but yes, he's listening, as well as my brother is listening in Texas. And of course, my mom with him snacking away on the couch. So
that's great. Well, let's hope he likes what he hears. Bill, I'd like to turn it over to you now for a description of what's been done in the studio for Jeff.
Sure. Yeah. And let me try to set the scene here for people listening on radio. We're doing this on Zoom. Usually we would do a big event like this with a crowd of people in person and with refreshments and, you know, in the KTO tradition. But for everybody's safety, we're doing this virtually on Zoom today. So we're all at our homes. But in Studio 2B, which is one of the five radio studios at KTOO, we're going to unveil a special panel dedicating the studio to Jeff. It's a beautiful design designed by Tana Peters. And it's actually, it's 2 feet wide by 4 feet high. It's actually an acoustic sound panel with images of Jeff and a dedication to him printed on the panel. So it's actually part of the acoustics in the room. And it will be the first thing you see when you step into Studio 2B going forward into the future. And it's we'll also be dedicating Studio 2K to another important person in KTOO's history in a few months. But this is the first studio that we've actually dedicated to anybody at KTOO. And the panel is being unveiled electronically now. I think we're watching it on Zoom here, and it's ready to be permanently installed in the room. And I'm going to ask Callie if she could read the dedication inscription. There's a few paragraphs about Jeff's contribution to KTOO that'll be a permanent part of this space in the studio. Callie, do you have it in front of you? Can
yes,
you read it for us?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, of course. Thank you so much, Bill. So on the panel, it says, Jeff Brown began volunteering at the newly minted KTOO FM in 1975. The station was then broadcasting from a broom closet in the Juno Douglas High School auditorium. Little did he know that this would be the start of a lifelong career in radio and television. Jeff held a variety of positions at KTO over the years and produced several unique programs. We Like Kids ran for over a decade and aired on over 65 radio stations nationwide. Every year, Jeff looked forward to the producing of the live broadcast of the Alaska Folk Festival in its entirety. From the setup to takedown, Jeff never missed an afternoon or evening concert. And who can forget his most exciting live broadcast produced from atop a live elephant while he rode it up Franklin Street. Jeff has filled KTOO and Juno with laughter, merriment, joy, with his music, magic, balloon animals, mazes, real Alaska magazines, and puzzle books for kids. Jeff's main goal always is to put a smile on the faces of the people he meets. What Jeff values most at his time at KTOO are the many friends that he made from the generations of KTOO volunteers, coworkers, and the community members. Jeff leaves a legacy at KTOO of kindness, acceptance, and the belief that everyone has something valuable to offer the world.
Well, thank you, Callie. And with that, we officially dedicate Studio 2B at KTOO, the KRNN studio, to Jeff Brown. And I just want to say hello and send my best to Jeff and Maureen as they listen to us this afternoon. And Callie, thank you. One of the photos I remember of Jeff the most is you sitting on your dad's shoulders when we moved into the new building, new for us, in 1995, and you were, you know, small enough to fit on his shoulders at the
time. 3 years, 2 or 3 years old, depending on when you moved.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years old, and we have been. You can't, for radio listeners, can't see this, but we've been watching video clips while we've been talking here, and we actually have video of Jeff and Annabelle Lund riding elephants down South Franklin Street in Juneau that we will share on the website. It's been amazing to be able to see some video of Jeff in action, both as Joe Gorilla and on that elephant ride. So we'll share that shortly. Kelly, is there anything else you want to say about your dad while we're together here today?
I mean, there's so much I could say about my dad. I mean, my entire life has been about has been circled around KTOO. There was always music on in our house, and there was always, he was always playing music, or there was always the radio on. Even if I decided that I didn't like the particular programming, it had to be on to make sure that we were on the air. I don't know if it was due to the fact that we lived two blocks to, you know, six blocks away from the studio my entire life, but he was always the first one that got called. And I remember, you know, at bedtime, you know, dad needs to go make sure that the radio is on the air. So his dedication and love for KTOO, the love for the DJs and the community and the programming and the family that was made at KTOO and all the volunteers truly was a humongous, is a humongous part of his life. And I'm so lucky to have witnessed it all. So
thank you for that, Kelly.
Not all of it. So I've only 30 years.
But. 30 years of it. Yeah. Thank you for that, Kelly. And that love comes back from all of us, all of the volunteers and all of the people who have worked with Jeff. So we're proud to dedicate the studio to him today. Shelley, I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you so much, Bill. And Callie, we all hope that he can feel how much it means to us as well to be able to thank him in some way for all that he's given to KTOO and to our community through public radio. No, no one will ever fill his comically large shoes.
Well, if they, you know, want to try, we have a couple pairs of clown shoes that if they would like to try them on, it's not, you know, they're not being made anymore. You know, they're welcome to try if they're his size.
Thanks, Callie. Bill, Cheryl, Ed, Callie, thank you all for being here today and for allowing me to facilitate this dedication ceremony. That was a real treat and honor for myself as well. Last but not least, as we close out today, we'll hear from a few of the many volunteers that Jeff Brown personally put on the board to be live host of music and talk programs, making sure that there would always be lots of local voices on our airwaves, and yet another contribution that he's made that we know our listeners find so valuable. So please enjoy.
This is Mike Sicarius. Jeff got my daughter on the air before me when he was producing We Like Kids in the late 80s. Jeff suggested I could be a DJ if I wanted. After I practiced for a scant 30 minutes, he asked if I wanted to sub on a Mudlark sampler. That start led to hosting radio shows for 30-plus years. Jeff has always been a generous enabler as well as an instigator. Knowing and working with Jeff has led me to doing things radio and beyond that I never would have imagined. Thanks for everything, Jeff.
When I think of KTOO, I think of Jeff Brown. He embodies everything that is good about public broadcasting in Alaska. His passion, his kindness, his humanity, his humor, his commitment to excellence, and above all, his strong belief that public broadcasting helps connect people and make Alaskans better. Jeff, you so richly deserve to have this studio named for you, and I, Ben Brown, thank you so much for all you've done to help me be a part of the KTOO family over the years.
Jeff Brown, you have rocked my radio world for umpteen years. I'm so pleased that we're dedicating this studio to you. In fact, I think we should hang a pair of clown shoes from the ceiling in your honor. Love, Carolyn Miner.
Hello, Jeff. This is John Sievertson, host of Monday Morning Cross Currents. The truth is, Jeff, that every time I'm in the recording studio, whether at the radio station or at home, I think fondly of your professional dedication and your sense of good humor. You have and will continue to provide me a great source of inspiration. Thank you and best wishes, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. This is John Heifetz, The Hife, DJ on KRNN. I'd like to thank you for you taking me under your wing a few years back and being my mentor, as you always made it a lot of fun to be part of the KRNN family. Congratulations on this well-deserved studio dedication in your honor. Take care, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. I just want to say thank you so much for everything that you have done for me personally and everything that you have done for Juno and the KTOO community. The dedication of this studio in your name is a fitting tribute to your contribution. It is much appreciated.
Hello, Mr. Brown. Ricky D here. Congratulations, my friend. I am so pleased that this is finally taking place. I just wish I could be there to celebrate with you. What a fabulous recording studio. Thank you for being a mentor, a friend, and a compadre. And thank you for all your years of love and giving to our community. We miss you big time. Praise life and namaste.
Hey, Jeff, Robert Sewell here. Want to say thank you for your many years of service to the community and certainly to Take 5 and more generally KTOO and then KRNN. Thanks for your guidance for me and your camaraderie. Can't say enough. Thank you.
Jeff, what I remember most is your patience as you trained me to be a KRNN DJ. I asked a lot of questions and sometimes ran into your office panic-stricken that I had pushed the wrong button. And you would always reassure me that I hadn't brought down the entire KTOO broadcast system. Thank you, Jeff, for all your incredible contributions to our Juno community. Clown shoes can be pretty big, but you have always filled them completely.
Jeff, this is Tom Paul. You're the reason I got back into radio a dozen years ago. You knew it would make my life richer and more fun. And now our smiles will be even bigger because we'll be in a studio named after you. What an asset you have been to public radio, to the community, and to our family over the years. You are legendary and well deserve this. Jan and I send our love to you, Maureen, Callie, and Colin.
Hi, Jeff. It's Katie Bosler. I think you were the first person I met when I walked into K2 for the first time 30 years ago. You showed me how to run the board and so much more. Your office was a colorful Grand Central station of music for the We Like Kids radio show. I remember the thrill in your voice announcing the birth of your own kid, Callie. Thank you, Jeff, for your positive influence on the airwaves and the lives of generations of kids of all ages.
Hi, Jeff. It's DJ TC, aka Trish. Congratulations on the studio dedication. Thank you for your devotion to public radio, your endless support of the volunteer DJs, and wholehearted commitment to making the world a more fun place. For all that you have done for the K3 stations and for the Juno community, a studio dedicated to you is a very fitting tribute. Bravo.
I want to thank everyone who contributed to that video, as well as Miko Wilson and David Waters and Cheryl Snyder for helping to put that together, and Will Mader, they're helping us out with some additional footage. And from the family of Jeff Brown, if you have old photographs or videos or audio clips or anything like that, we would love to accept those and consolidate them on their behalf. You can email us, junoafternoon@ktoo.org, or give me a call, 907-463-6470. Again, that's junoafternoon@ktoo.org or 463-6470 for any old pictures of Jeff, video, audio, anything that you got, please send it our way.